It's 11:20 and you know what it is. I've been saying it because I'm super excited to have her join me, my sister queen with big hair.
I worked hard to get that going, Oh, the hair part. But the sister queen is my birthright, just as it is yours.
Exactly.
Good morning.
Are you good?
I am very well, my sister queen. To God be all the glory.
Amen.
For bringing us to this point. And I'm hoping all our listeners are well as well.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the weather's like, it must be like a joy in our heart.
Yeah, I mean, you're wearing that joyful face. I mean, we last saw each other at the conference.
At the Queen's event.
Amazing, right? That was...
It was such, I feel that every single queen that was there was just ready to receive from the Lord and to give unto him worship. And so the moment was tangible. So I'm still on that high. I was telling my sister queen, everybody that's tuned in, that I feel that I've been asking the Lord, okay, so what is happening? Because everything is just like, okay, there's such a peace. I'm tired, but it's a happy tired. I'm busy, but it's a happy busy. So I'm grateful.
Sure. I love that. I'm grateful for you.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for you.
To God be all the glory.
Amen. 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 Well, you are here joining us today to remove the layers around financial wellness. I mean, it's a topic that we also touched last week.
Yes.
Right? Now, in a previous segment, our discussion highlighted the fact that, you know, the road to financial wellness for most South Africans would require a radical change in our financial behavior, overall management, and diligence.
Sure.
Now, for many, our relationship with money was built on limited financial literacy.
True.
And also falling into the cycle of black tax, which was and is caused by a previous economic imbalance and governmental systems.
Yeah.
Now, in today's topic and segment, you, my friend, will be sharing with us practical tips, you know, on how to, on how one can build financial wellness. And I know, and I hope, brother, that those who are listening have their pen and paper or can take mental notes for this one, right? So if you can, you know, just please describe to our listeners what your financial health looked like before and you started your journey to financial wellness.
Sure. I love, Sister Queen, the fact that you're starting at what it looked like before. Because I think oftentimes we look at people not understanding the road that they've traveled to be where they have, where they found themselves currently. And so for me, like probably most listeners tuned in today, my relationship with money only started when I received my first paycheck. And the reason why I need to say that is because prior to that, the situation around money or how money was used and distributed in the house was really a case of my dad earned the money, my mom would spend it, and whenever I would need money, I would ask my dad or mom. There was really never a principal or anybody teaching me and helping me in terms of how to spend what I received or how to increase the allocation that was given unto me. I only, when I started my first job, it was a case of, it was such a new thing for me. All of a sudden, I had money. And I had the ways and the means to buy stuff that I couldn't really afford previously. But my challenge was I was also a mother and I was also a wife. So the first paychecks was really just spent on, you know, buying lunch at work and not really packing in lunch. So there was a lot of unnecessary spending and there was also no planning. And as a result, as a young married woman and in our household even, whenever the money was then received at month end, after about a week or 2 weeks, that money was gone. And we were literally living from the hand to the mouth. It was not a healthy thing to have. But that is how it started. And after a couple of years, we then bought our first house together and things were good. We got, I got a better job. There was more salary coming into the household. But the problem is, the more money came that came in, the higher our expenses were because we bought a house and we had a car. And the challenge was with that was there was no concrete plan. We just continued the behavior that we learned as children. Money came in, it went out, and what was left, we used Then come 2 weeks down the line, there was no money. And after a couple of years, when my life then took a drastic turn for the worse, when I made some choices that literally harmed my life and the life of my children. I mean, I speak about it in my book. My financial situation took a drastic turn for the worse. Sure. As a single mother who used to have another income in the house and who already had financial behavior that was unhealthy, I developed a very unhealthy relationship with loans. And I need to talk about this. And as you gave me the question, it was like, Lord, I need to share certain things now. But I think sharing with the vulnerability is important so that people can understand how quickly things go wrong. So the poor management, financial management of my past caught up with me during that time as a single mother, and not having money left by the second week after payday then led me to go towards, you know, the industry of loans, and that became my crutch. But my crutch was not a very stable crutch to lean on, because back then, what, 30-odd years ago, loans was not regulated. So, and because it was not regulated, whenever I needed, I would go and ask. Nobody checked whether I could actually afford it. Yeah. And sometimes got the cards were given. This is the reality of Liesl as I am now, what I went through as a young woman. So I, after a couple of years of really reckless behavior, trying to survive and maintain my quality of living that I became used to, I became part of the 50% of South Africans that was over indebted because of loans and accounts. So I think it needs to be clarified, Sakhi, that prior to 2005, when the NCA came into working, that unsecured lenders actually scored a great deal from the ignorance and poor financial planning of our people. You know, the unsecured lenders then was offering loans that really didn't look at exposure. They didn't take into consideration that only 30% of your income is supposed to go towards loan payments. They were charging excessive interest rates. People really weren't checking the interest rate. You heard of interest rates as high as 80%, 70%. True story. And I mean, so for me, and there was lots of other horror stories of people talking about, you know, having to leave the cards.
My goodness.
Yes, with lenders in still order for happening? The lenders. It's now, even that happening? Is scary because it's being regulated. So, and maybe that is why it needed to be said. So that unhealthy relationship with loans really caused me a great deal of harm.
Yeah.
And if I think of it, at that time, there's a demand and a supply for money in our lives. Mm-hmm. And in my life, it was incredibly off balance. Now, I need to explain this whole demand and supply method that I'm talking about here. So there are three main reasons that signifies like a demand and supply where money is concerned. The first one is transaction. We all need money to survive, right?
Yeah.
The second one is precautionary. Precautionary is our need to actually buffer ourselves against unforeseen events. And the third one is speculation. Speculation is making sure that you have some sort of reserve of money in anticipation of maybe a disaster, retrenchment, you know, when you get sick.
Yeah.
And two of those three, demand and supplies, I did not make provision for. There was money coming in, but I wasn't precaution. There was no precautionary measures, and there was, you know, I didn't ensure that from a speculation point of view that I'm covered. So because I failed in those areas, I think I then went for the alternative, and a lot of listeners will probably know what I'm going to say now. I thought I'm going to go for debt counseling. So debt counseling was a service that was created to help the indebted people within South Africa. But as a young single mom at that time, who still needed to be actively part of the economy, that service was more of a disservice. And I will explain the status of being under debt counseling. You must now understand, when my whole life went in array and I made all those mistakes,
yeah.
I lost my house. My house was taken from me because sure. I couldn't afford the payments anymore. I lost furniture. I lost a lot of things. But I still, at the time, I got a new job. I could afford to buy a house. But because I was under debt counseling, I couldn't apply for a home loan.
Yeah.
Because I was under debt counseling, I couldn't apply for vehicle finance. So even though there was an intention to develop a healthy relationship with money,
mm-hmm.
the system that was designed to correct the wrongs of the past actually didn't serve my situation.
Yeah.
And I'm
sure.
not knowing why I'm sharing all these details, mm-hmm. but that was my situation at the time. So as a result, I was then forced to live as a tenant, even though I could afford to buy a house. And then after a couple of years, just before I met Johnny, in the process of wanting to clean my name from yeah. debt counseling, from the registry system, that became another lengthy one. So then years later, myself and Johnny got married, and then our marriage then started off with a joint estate that was built on poor financial behavior mm-hmm. and management from one person within that union. And what helped us over these 10, almost 10 years that we married, almost yeah. 10 years, Johnny, it's not 10 years
wow.
yet, almost 10 years. What helped us was really understanding one of where we've been and what we are faced with, the situation of our mm-hmm. bad, our financial circumstances was.
Yeah.
We had to sacrifice certain things, meaning no loans that we needed to take. Everything was on a cash basis only, and we worked on a plan. And whilst I think myself and Johnny is not living in our wealth yet, our financial
yet.
Wellness mm-hmm. is better managed, and it's free from the unhealthy financial crutches like loans. We don't have loans because we work on a cash only. If we don't have, we stay without. So it was
sure.
a sacrifice, but we sacrifice because of understanding.
Sure. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. I believe there are people you are speaking to right now, and even a mother who just, you know, entered into single motherhood.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure they are taking some notes as to this is what I should do and this is what I should not do
yep.
based on your story. Your story of redemption, which I love. Now, based on your own experiences, Liz, what advice, you know, would you give someone who's finding themselves in a similar position you were once in?
Sure. And I'm going to respond because I believe I am qualified for two reasons. I was myself in that situation
mm-hmm.
and I have tried certain things that got me out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So in the world of financial services, there's this thing about, we talk about four financial quadrants. And those four financial quadrants need to maintain simultaneously on the path of our financial well-being or
yeah.
to get better. And those four quadrants are transacting, and transacting is actually things like budgeting, monitoring your credit score, your transactional behavior, when you pay your accounts, and whether there's enough money in your bank account for debit orders. Those are transacting part that you need to look after. Borrowing, understanding that there's something like good credit and bad credit. Classic example, we don't have trust funds. We don't have money laying around. We need to take out a loan to buy a house. That is a form of good credit.
Mm-hmm.
A credit card is also good credit, but it becomes bad credit if you use your credit card to pay other accounts. It is good credit
sure.
if you pay your credit card back within the 55 days interest-free free period.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding those things. Then there's insurance, the third quadrant that speaks about short-term and long-term insurance and
yeah.
why it matters. If you don't have insurance and something happens, then it means you need to take from your disposable income to cover for the event, whether it's death, a car that's broken down, or a funeral. I can mention many, even like going to the hospital. The fourth quadrant is investments, you know, understanding that there's a difference between savings and investments and why both is actually needed. And we can go into detail with that. And also having an investment portfolio, because then there's savings, normal investments, and then an investment portfolio that's going to give you higher interest.
Yeah.
So, but if I have to break down those four quadrants that I just mentioned now, I cannot stress enough the importance of budgeting. If I look back on my life when I started my, you know, as a mother, as a married woman, there was not a plan. And a budget is a plan. It might seem like a simple exercise. You look at what comes in, what goes out. But if you don't monitor what goes out, then you spend more than what comes in, and then you run into difficulty. So it's important that you caution yourself against the snowball effect of not planning. And then, having had my experiences with loan sake, I think we need to understand the concept that not all credit is good. I spoke about that earlier. We need to understand that there's a commitment that you make. If you do take out a unsecured loan, for example, the commitment is a 3-year term, a 4-year term, a 5-year term. Yeah. Can you really afford to pay 3,000 rand for 5 years? How is it going to impact your plans of buying a house, of buying a car, of children going to school? We need to ask ourselves these questions before we just go and apply for a loan. Then I think the other one is the thing about trust funds and insurance. Because we don't have these trust funds, one, to buy houses and cars cash, insurance is also the one thing that if we don't have money laying around and you don't have insurance, you can't go into the well of a trust fund and say, it's going to cover me for the unforeseen events. We need to save. That is what an insurance is. You save, you pay for an installment to cover yourself in the case of these unforeseen events that happens. And then the last part of the quadrant that I spoke about is that the principle of paying yourself first. That savings portion. And you start small. It's important that when you start saving, it needs to be part of your budget. Save the amount that your budget allows. If your budget don't allow it now, settle the debt and know that when the debt is paid, that a portion of that installment goes towards the savings. And everything takes time. If I look at my life, it took years before it fell apart, the bad financial as a result of the bad financial behavior. And so it will take time to actually fix or correct the wrongs of the past.
Sure, I love that. Listen, I feel like this is a conversation that one can go back to, you know, with a pen and paper, just to take down those notes. Shireen is saying, she's saying, well, thank you for sharing the debt cancelling disadvantage. That was for me. I now find myself with a negative credit record because of debt review status.
That's the inconvenient truth about it. You almost, it changes your whole transactional ability to do anything.
Sure. We are definitely grateful for this conversation today. Now, what are the key takeaways you can give our listeners from the four financial quadrants?
Okay. And again, a lot of people might think, or some might think, this is simple. Why is not everybody doing? The reality is, what one regard as simple and as, you know, we should know it, somebody else do not know. So I'm going to go basic. So as far as budgeting is concerned, my sister Quinn, it is a financial tool. And the tool enables you with a greater control over how you manage your financial affairs. Yeah. I think it's important that I put it like that. Mm-hmm. It gives you control over where your money is going. If you have the right budget strategy, you can really achieve your financial goals. I.e. strategy can be linked to how much money we're putting away for how many months in order to buy furniture, for example, or in order to buy, put down a deposit for a car, for example. Understanding that should be a strategy. You should have a sheet with a 12-month column for every month. You should know how your money is spent that you're getting in. Also, create a legal room to make it easier for you to stick your budget. Don't draft a budget and then you don't make provision for, like, you know, spoils. If you need to go to the hairdresser, Sister Queen, put it in the budget that you need to have 1,000 rand for the hairdresser. I'm just making an example. Don't make it uncomfortable. You still need to live and enjoy the money that you're getting whilst you plan to become financially healthier. And then on the budgeting, prioritize savings that can also, you know, provide you with financial stability. For those of you who are with the big banks, you know, the big banks offers reward for transacting properly. If you have e-bucks, guys, make sure you go to, like, you know, Engen Garrard's. Make sure you swipe instead of drawing cash at the ATM. So, you know, do point of sales. You point, you earn points, and those e-bucks you can use for, you know, tickets, airplane tickets, but even for simple things like electricity. Okay, let's just be real. Not everybody uses it to buy tickets. Mm-hmm. And know your credit score. So the credit score is something that everybody needs to know. If I have to ask our listeners that tune in by a show of hands, who can tell me what their credit score is?
Yeah.
If you don't know your credit score, you're actually transacting blindly. Understanding that your credit score shows how well you've managed your finances in the past or how not well you did you manage your finances in the past. You get high scores, you get low scores, and it's between 0 to 999. So understanding that the higher your credit score, the better your chances of getting a home loan, vehicle finance, and also good interest rate. You can actually negotiate. Let you, your score must be so great that the bank wants to give you money, and you say, no, I actually don't want that. It's limitless. It's a trick. So then you in control of it.
Yeah.
So if your credit score is between 600 to 650, then you have a very good credit score. Those type of borrowers can then get good loan interest rates, and they can really negotiate on, you know, what they get from a rate point of view. 550 to 600 is good. 490 to 550 is subprime. They will consider, but you won't get the best rates. You definitely won't get a home loan. 490 and below is poor credit. So if you don't know what your score is and you're thinking, oh my word, I actually want to buy a house in a couple of months' time, there's ways in which you can impact your credit score. You can contact me for those tips, because that's going to take time. Then we talk about, you know, if I talk about insurance, a lot of people, you know, in certain communities would say, insurance, I'm going to pay money. I'm not even seeing where the money goes.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to die someday and somebody else is going to get the benefit of the money.
Yeah.
No, we need to stop that cycle. We need to fix generational wrongs. And because we don't have these trust funds that goes from generation to generation, we need to create trust funds for our next generation whilst we build our own wealth with savings and investments.
Yeah.
So if something happens to you, it means your children will get a better chance.
Come on.
That this whole black tax thing is not going to fall on them. They will be in a better position. So let's start putting money away for our children. And then the savings plan, you know, it's a gradual thing for those, for everyone that's tuned in, listener. Oh man, I know it took me a while before I could actually save.
Yeah.
But what made me feel good with my budget, I stopped going for loans. And that was a, I celebrated the fact that when I didn't have mid-month, I stayed without.
Sure.
It was a tough thing. I sometimes had to go without blowing my hair. And then I used to swirl coast and, you know, blow my own hair. And just being real, that was before I went natural. But there are certain things that I had to sacrifice. And it took time before I could actually start budgeting. Then with the investment part, which is more important, that important in the sense of creating wealth, understanding that savings is liquid, meaning you have immediate access to it. When you invest in it, means you can't get access to the funds immediately. You need to give notice. So it's easier to have it in investment, because by the time it would probably be released, then it's no longer a need, you know? So go for fixed deposits or money market accounts. And if you have more money, try bonds. So bond, not like a home loan. I'm talking like a bond. It's like when the government or a company issues you with like an IOU, because you're borrowing their money and they use your money. The interest rate is ridiculously high, but also you invest large amounts. So I'm not going to go through all of that. I think for what the investment vehicle specifically, speak to a broker. There are people who are experts, who are experts in the field, and they can guide you the right way.
Yeah,
I see you want to read some of.
Yes, Chantal is saying absolutely much needed conversation. That's needed for all of us. And Anonymous wants to know, with regards to one knowing the credit score, how do you know what's your credit score?
That's a very good question. So Anonymous, each consumer, so that's you and I, we consumers, you're entitled to a free credit report. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you two, three big names that you can contact. It's CompuScan, ITC, and Experian. Mm-hmm. You Google their contact number, make contact with them. They will ask for security questions, whatever, and they send you the report. And the report will show exactly every account that you've had over the past 5 years, how well you've paid them, what your score is. And then there will be a portion that will explain what you can do in order to improve your score. Mm-hmm. Simple example is, if you have loans, try paying a little bit extra on your loans. If you have credit accounts, don't wait until the 7th to pay the account. That is normally the date that's on your invoice. Yeah. Pay your account sooner rather than later. Mm. Or make sure that your account's up. The simple tricks that we need to start applying to impact our score. Okay, and if you really want to get into financial wellness and tracking your score, there's a monthly fee, which is really, it's such a small amount, you won't even feel it's like 20 Rand, I think it might have changed, but then you can access your report anytime. To see how your behavior of the previous month maybe impacted the score for the next month. So for anybody that is on a process of wanting to improve their wellness, that is what they can do.
Fantastic. Again, what are those big names?
So it's ITC, mm-hmm. Experian, mm-hmm. and CompuScan.
Fantastic. There we go. Before I let you go, because I have to wrap up in just a few minutes.
Rowan, we need more time.
We pray for more. Right. Do you have any closing remarks with regards to financial wellness for our listeners?
Sure. I think, Sake, seeing that we went all vulnerable today and me really spilling my guts of how bad I used to be, and I mean a lot of people know me now, I think we need to give ourselves the grace for the mistakes that we have made in our past and know that this opportunity today is for you to try again.
Sure.
This time around, to everyone that's tuning in, this time around, you're going to be armed with your experience, but also a greater knowledge that can drive your behavior. And the knowledge is based on stuff that you are learning now. And if you still struggle, you just need to look at how far you have come already. Celebrate those small wins. Even if you're not saving yet, celebrate the fact that you don't go knock on somebody, some unsecured lender's door to ask for money, that you actually just make it through the month until payday. And that is a celebration. Because you know what? In a few years from now, you'll thank yourself for the process that you started today.
Yeah.
And then start teaching your children what you weren't taught when you were younger.
Yeah, break the cycle.
Sure.
Sister, thank you so much.
You are most welcome, Sister Queen.
A lot of listeners are requesting for us to, kind of encapsulate this chat into a podcast. So we'll look into that so that you can go back and, re-listen. Also share it with your friends and family and also invite them to the CCFM app. But thank you so much for today. Really, really informative and judging from, the feedback from our listeners, they needed today's chat. So thank you so much.
Thank you. To God be all the glory, and to our producer who is in tune with what the listeners need. And hopefully I will get some extra time.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
All right, that was Liesel Sneeman, and she was touching on financial wellness. For those who are asking again, those apps or sites to check your credit score, I will give it to you just after this one.